party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see, every couple tries to stop.
Little Brenda Lee rocking around the Christmas tree to get us going on this segment of our show. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today as we talk about picking and caring for your Christmas tree with our guest Laura Jalbeck with us, Associate Professor and Extension Specialist in the College of Ag and Life Sciences at UW-Madison, expert on woody ornamentals, nursery management, and a whole lot more. And that, and of course, an expert on Christmas trees and their care. So we'll have you join in with questions about selecting and caring for your Christmas tree. You'll be able to do that. Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And, you know, we thought it'd be fun before we even started talking with Laura to go to the movie A Christmas Story. Remember that story? It's Gene Shepard wrote the book and the movie, and it plays for 24 hours on Christmas Day on one of the TV stations, and I've seen it many times. But there's a piece, just a short piece in there, where Ralphie, the boy who wants the Red Ryder BB gun, and his mother and his dad, who he calls the old man, go Christmas tree shopping. Let's listen to that little brief segment.
Now, here's a tree. This here is a tree.
Oh, wait till the dog sees that one.
Don't you think it's a little large?
Yeah, no, I don't know. Christmas only comes once a year. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, well, how much?
I'll knock off $2 because I can see you're a man who knows his trees.
This isn't one of those trees that all the needles falls off, is it?
No, that's some balsams.
This is a very nice tree.
Yeah.
I'll throw in some rope and tie it to your car for you.
You got a deal.
Oh, man, I've enjoyed seeing that movie many a time. And oftentimes on Christmas Day, you go by the set and you'll see in the middle and then you'll see the end and then maybe you'll see the beginning later on. Always fun. But the picking of the Christmas tree is what we're talking about here with Laura Jal. Laura, have you seen that movie?
Oh, many times, Larry. It's hilarious.
Oh, man. Well, here's the old man looking for a tree, and it's really funny. They kind of stomp the tree on the ground. The seller does, and all the needles fall off of one. What do you look for when you buy a tree at a lot?
Well, the first thing I want to mention before I get into that is some people say, well, why even get a live Christmas tree? They only are going to be in your house for 2 weeks. Well, there's actually a lot of compelling reasons why we should have live Christmas trees instead of artificial trees. Many of these live trees are very environmentally friendly option compared to artificial trees that are made out of, various petroleum products or other products that aren't natural. And these trees live for, 7 to 10 years before they're actually harvested for Christmas trees. They're planted as young seedlings. And these trees can sequester a lot of greenhouse gases. They can also support us with the oxygen they produce every day. And many of these trees look and smell great in your home, and especially decorated with lights and ornaments.
Oh, I love the smell.
And there's certain ones that smell better than others. And in fact, one of the ways you can tell if you're collecting a quality tree is when you're at the either Christmas tree lot or tree farm or big box store, wherever you buy your tree, grab a hold of the branches, and especially one branch, and run your hands over it. If the needles fall off or are very dry and break off easily or are discolored, Don't choose that tree. The needles should be firm and flexible, and have a nice, green color or blue, if depending on the species you choose. And there are lots of different species you can choose from. In Wisconsin, the most common type trees that are grown are like your Fraser fir, your concolor fir, your balsam fir, your Canaan fir. There's also Douglas fir. Bat's pine, eastern white pine, Black Hills spruce, and even in Norway and Colorado blue spruce, which I personally wouldn't recommend Colorado blue spruce as a Christmas tree because the needles are incredibly sharp at the ends and can poke children and small pets. So that one I probably wouldn't use.
So, yeah, I like a spruce because it does the where I buy my tree, which is actually about 2 blocks from my house. There's a farm family that comes every year, and they're Christmas tree operation, and they sell a lot of Christmas trees out of a gas station that's right next door to it. And it's always a lot of fun, and they have some spruce that do pretty well. And they only cut their trees, they're not cut 3 months ago, you know, they're, or two yeah. months ago.
Yeah. It's really, you know, to be honest, one of the best things that I like to do is actually go to a tree farm and cut your own tree. That way it is very fresh.
Yeah.
Inside. I mean, there's other species you can also use. Scots pine or eastern white pine, it really depends on your taste, how big of a tree you want, and your budget. Obviously, fir trees are more expensive because they grow slower, but they really are the Cadillac of Christmas trees.
Yeah, and the costs have been going up on Christmas trees.
Well, and a lot of people are, you know, upset, and I agree. I mean, there are a lot of money, but that's a 7 to 10 year investment. So it's not something that can be like corn that you can plant and it grows in one season and you harvest it. It takes, you know, almost a decade to get these trees to be ready to be able to be cut and sold as Christmas trees. So it's a long-term investment for the grower.
Well, I always purchase mine. My daughter and I go to get our tree on Black Friday. So day after mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, goes up that weekend, and it stays up until around the 1st of January. So it's up for at least 1/12 of the year.
I try to leave mine up as long as I can because I really enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, if you're going to pick one yourself, what would you? I mean, some are better than others, aren't they? Talk about
that. Absolutely. Well, you know, another thing I like to do is once I decide on a tree is I'll give it a good shake. Just, you know, lift the tree up and kind of stomp it down. And if a ton of needles falls off, don't get that one.
You know, that's like from the Christmas story clip.
Yeah, exactly. And you're going to lose some needles, but I have a handout that I sent to Jill. I think she's posting on your website of everything I'm talking about today and step-by-step instructions of how to keep your tree indoors. And one of the most important things is either at the place you're buying the tree from or at home, you need to give the tree base of the trunk a fresh cut. You need to probably prune off some lower limbs so that the tree can fit into the tree stand that's holding it up that you're placing in your home. You want to give it a fresh cut about 1 to 2 inches off the end. And the reason why is it depending on when the tree was harvested, especially if it was harvested a month or two ago and then shipped to the big box stores or garden centers, that cut end gets really dry and it won't suck up water very efficiently or at all because it's filled with sap. So by giving it a good fresh cut, you're allowing that tree water conducting tissues or xylem to uptake the water. Speaking of water, that is the only thing that is needed in that tree stand reservoir. The addition of bleach, sugar, molasses, syrup, honey, aspirin, soda, salt, fertilizer, or any of that commercial floral or tree preservative for Christmas trees doesn't improve needle retention, freshness, or water uptake and is entirely unnecessary. The most important thing you can do is add fresh tap water daily. And trees up to a 4-inch diameter at the base, most standard Christmas trees, they can imbibe a gallon of water per day. So you need to be checking that daily, especially the first week. They really suck up that water fast. And if the tree gets dry, then it forms these what we call embolisms in the xylem tissue, and they don't take up water very well after that. So it's really important to get a fresh cut and keep it well watered.
Yeah, and even with a fresh cut, you shouldn't be waiting around a couple days before you put it up.
No, in fact, if you can't put your tree up right away and you bought it, you can store it in an unheated garage as long as you give it a fresh cut and put it in a bucket of water until you're ready to move it into your house.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Laura Jull, our guest today, associate professor, extension specialist in the College of Ag and Life Sciences at UW-Madison. Great to have her with us today. We're talking about Christmas trees, picking them out, caring for them. Maybe an experience to share with your tree. The number to call, 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at picking and caring for your Christmas tree on the show right now with our guest Laura Jull, UW Extension Specialist, Associate Professor, as a matter of fact, in the College of Ag and Life Sciences at UW-Madison. Again, you can call at 800-642-1234, email to talk@WPR.org. Many years ago, I bought myself a really good stand, tree stand, a good sturdy one. What should you look for in a stand?
Well, you want something obviously that has a large reservoir because you need to be adding water. At least it should hold at least a gallon of water. The next thing is, some of these stands are so lightweight that once you put a tree in them, these Christmas trees, especially if they're very fresh, they can weigh a heck of a lot. And the flimsy stands can, not hold the tree very well and the tree can fall over in your house. So metal is good. It doesn't have to be metal, but it has to be something that is wide at the base, especially if it's got like four, prongs or whatever you call it, that lay on the floor. I'm trying to think of the word, Larry.
legs or something, you could say.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, ones that stick out that are flat against the floor because of the dynamics of the height of the tree, and you want some stability at the base. And one that can hold the tree trunk in place, so it has screws or clamps or something like that to anchor it, very secure.
Yes. Steve in Door County has something for us. Hi, Steve.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I went to a tree farm last week, and I cut the tree myself. And the gentleman, as I was leaving, said, you don't have to put it in water right away. Wait until you get to a warm place to cut it. And he said that the sap actually forms on the base, on the trunk, when you cut it. And that seals the tree until you get into a warmer space and cut it. But I just heard her say that as soon as you get it into a cold space, you should cut it. So I'm kind of worried. It'll be another week before I get it to a warm place and into a Christmas tree stand. And I cut it a week ago, so that adds up to 2 weeks. What should I do?
If it's been 2 weeks, I definitely, when you get home, if it's in your garage or shed or whatever, is give it a fresh cut and put it in water. Granted, if it gets below freezing, that water's going to freeze. Obviously, that's a problem. Yes, you can leave it outside of water, but, the longer you leave it out of water, the longer it can dry out. And so when you bring it inside, you should have that cut already done because it makes a mess.
Yeah.
And then put it in the stand and add water. But, if it's going to be a very long time, I don't know, I would personally put it in a bucket of water in a garage until you're ready. It doesn't, you don't have to do that, but just be aware that your tree is drying out. There's no roots there to uptake water.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Steve, there you go. Thank you for calling. Karen in Lindenhurst, Illinois, on to you now. Hi, Karen.
Hi, yeah. I bought a $100 tree 1 year, and I put it in the garage in a bucket of water, as you suggested, like a week before I was going to bring it in. The whole thing soaked up the water immediately, and then the whole tree froze. Every branch on the thing was frozen.
So you had to thaw it out.
I had to go get another tree.
Oh!
No. Yeah. Well, I suggest bringing it home and putting it up in the stand as soon as you can, but I realize sometimes you can't. But I have an unheated garage, but my garage is attached to my house, and it never gets below 30. So the Christmas tree I had was fine. But if you have an unattached garage or are in a very cold area, agree, it might freeze, and it'd be best just to buy it when you can and get it up right away.
Yeah. Oh, that's great stuff. Well, it's not a good story, but it was an interesting story to tell. And yeah. I bet you've told that one a few times, Karen. Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate that very much. Well, Paul in Madison, you got a story for us.
Good afternoon, folks.
Hi.
Several years ago, great show, by the way. Several years ago, we went and cut our own balsam fir, brought it home, had to trim up the base a bit in order to fit it in the stand. But we got a self-waterer. It's just basically a 2-liter soda bottle that fits in a stand, and it's got a siphon hose that goes into the reservoir of the tree stand. Well, it was doing just fine, and we just made sure that every couple of days we checked the soda bottle to make sure it had water in it. Comes after Christmas, it's about New Year's, taking all the ornaments and lights off and everything else. There is new growth on this tree. And I called the guy that had the tree farm where we got it from. I said, have you ever heard of this thing? He said, no. So I just, I couldn't throw it out.
Oh, my goodness. Laura, what do you think?
Well, you bring a tree that's dormant from being outside into a warm house over the course of a couple of weeks, you may get some buds that break. But this is not common, but I have seen it on Christmas trees, but they're not going to live very long because there's no tree roots there.
Yeah.
And it's basically a dead tree.
Yeah, but that's a pretty cool story anyway, Paul.
Yeah, it is.
Thanks a lot for calling. I'm wondering, you know, I have a location where I put my tree every year in the house. It's kind of right next, sort of next to the fireplace, and there's a window. Does location in the house affect how long a tree will kind of last before it starts dropping
off?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely keep the Christmas tree away from any heat source, such as fireplaces, space heaters, wood-burning stoves, heat vents. These will dry out your tree a lot faster. Keep it out of direct sunlight. Most homes don't have very much light this time of year anyways. But definitely keep it away from any, you know, doors that constantly open and close. Those dry air, will dry the tree out fast.
Yeah. Some people have been getting, in fact, I got one year from, as a gift, a living Christmas tree, and then you plant them afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, is that... I can tell you what happened in my case. I did get it into the ground eventually, and the tree died right away, or close to.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the species. I've seen live Christmas trees, like especially like Norfolk Island pines. That is not hardy here. That is a tree that grows on Norfolk Island, which is in the South Pacific. So it's definitely not cold hardy here. They're beautiful indoor houseplants that look just like a Christmas tree, and I one year when I was in college, that was my Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And I just decorated it with lights and little ornaments, and it was really cute. Other times it can be evergreen species that is grown in the U.S., but it may not be hardy. Sometimes they're coming out from the state of Washington or Oregon, and they're these little tabletop trees, and they're very adorable, but they may not be truly cold hardy for us here. If they are a species that is cold hardy here, then and it's grown in a pot, and it's like a landscape tree that you would plant out in the yard later, it's too cold to plant them right now. The ground, at least here, is frozen. And not only that, the soils are pretty cold. I do know people that have done that, and they put mulch down. The problem is those tree roots are not going to get established before we get into the below zero temperatures, though we've had some recently. And the foliage is just going to dry out because, you know, the root system is not established. You're going to need to water those plants. It's best, and I have done this, overwintered a potted tree or shrub in an unheated garage. Make sure it's well watered right when you put it in the garage. The pot will probably freeze in the roots. Make sure it's an doesn't get below like 20, 25 degrees in the garage, and just make sure to check on watering during the winter if we get a January thaw or something like that. And then next spring, early spring, then pot it out in your yard, removing the pot and, of course, trying to get that root flare right at the soil line to prevent girdling roots.
And I should just mention that your handout that you mentioned earlier, the handout on Christmas trees that you have, is we have it in our program notes, talk at WPR.org/Larry or WPR.org/Larry. Go to today's date and look in the program notes, and you will find that information there. What species do you suggest for planting in your yard for future decorating?
Well, it really depends on your soil type and where you are in the state. Obviously, you want it cold hardy enough. I mean, we've got people from northern Wisconsin, central and southern Wisconsin, as well as Michigan and other surrounding states. And so, again, it depends on your cold hardiness zone. Second of all, your soil type. Firs are absolutely gorgeous trees, whether you get a balsam, Fraser, Canaan, or concolor fir, or even a Korean fir. I have several in my yard, but my soil is conducive to growing them. Fir trees need absolutely good drainage. They will not tolerate heavy clay or poorly drained soils. They also like a slightly acidic pH, soil pH around 6.5, 6. Mine is like 7.2. It's doing just fine, but you need that awesome drainage of the soil. It will not tolerate wet soil. Same with eastern white pine, which is another native tree, that and red pine. Both of those pine species need very good drainage. When it comes to spruce, they're a little bit more tolerant. I personally would avoid planting any Colorado blue spruce, and the reason why is diseases. They are exceptionally disease susceptible and short-lived trees. In fact, it's one of the most common samples Brian Huddleston gets in the plant disease diagnostic lab to identify what killed it. Our other spruces are susceptible to diseases, too. I think one of the better spruces, I mean, I'm not saying it's completely disease-resistant, but Norway spruce is one.
On that note, Laura, thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate it so much. Laura Jowell from the UW Extension Specialist and Associate Professor in CALS. Great to have her with us, and great to have you listening in. And I hope you'll please stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News. I'm Larry Mueller.